Hello, this is Fritz Onion with another Pluralsight author interview. Today we're talking with Richard Seroder about his latest course, Stream Insight Fundamentals. This is Richard's third course with Pluralsight. His other courses cover BizTalk, Windows Azure, and UML. Hi, Richard. It's good to have you here today.
Thanks. Good to be here.
So I'd like to start with a high-level overview of Stream Insight, primarily because most developers I've talked to about this technology don't really even know about it or realize what it does. So could you kind of give us the 10,000-foot perspective on Stream Insight?
Sure. Yeah, it's still a relatively new technology from Microsoft, and it's kind of gotten hidden within SQL Server as a product where it's licensed. But yeah, it definitely is a new space for Microsoft. It's something that the industry's been seeing for years now, but this is new to people with a Microsoft focus. So really, Stream Insight's a platform for analyzing data in real time, uncovering time-based patterns that can drive some sort of action. So it's not a replacement for an integration bus like a BizTalk server or that sort of thing, or a replacement for an actual BI platform. It's kind of has aspects of both, though. It pulls data in and out via adapters and uses centralized logic like BizTalk does, but it's also like a BI platform in that it provides knowledge out of information. So I guess that the core of it, though, is events. And in an event-driven architecture, you'll hear that phrase, like an EDA, and that events are produced from things, whether it's phones or electrical meters or website logs or call centers or business processes. And we're just getting more and more of this. So how do we process data differently? You know, an interesting stat I saw, a single flight of a 737 across the United States generates about 240 terabytes of log data. Wow. So you can barely even store that, let alone look at it. So even if you don't have that sort of scale, enterprise data is growing, according to one research firm, at 650% over the next 5 years. So how do we know more faster? How do we not just have batch reports that tell us something a week after it actually occurred when we can't do anything? So Stream Insight as a product is made up of a set of DLLs that can be embedded within an app, like a desktop client or things like that, or as a standalone server, and it processes up to hundreds of thousands of events per second to try to glean some information out of it instead of forcing us all to sift through data and try to make sense of it.
So let's follow up on that event model. A big part of what this technology seems to cover, based on what I saw in your course, is complex event processing. Could you give us some kind of real-world examples of where complex event processing is useful and what benefits it provides?
Sure. Yeah. CEP and complex event processing, again, a phrase you'll see a lot in financial services where this market kind of got created and it's grown a bit since then. And what's ironic is the word complex can scare people, but the whole point is it's trying to make the data easier to understand. So complex in this case refers to kind of a summary event. So it's looking at a ton of data and telling you what you need to know. So, you know, an individual event occurring might not be that interesting. Hey, we just got an order from the website. Fantastic. But, you know, that's not going to make anyone do anything special. But if it's part of a trend, let's say that I find out that we've had actually 35 orders for one product in the last 10 minutes when we've only sold 35 of these in the last year and a half. So that might be really interesting right now, A, because I'm about to get back ordered if I don't carry this in stock typically, but maybe there's some upsell or there's something I'm missing. There's a trend out there where, hey, if I'm really doing CEP well, I may be joining mentions of my products on something like Twitter with actual orders to find out maybe I can see this wave coming. People start talking about my product, and maybe consistently within a few hours, I see a spike in orders. So complex events are summary events. I'm aggregating data within one event stream, maybe across event streams, and learning something new from it and not forcing someone to read through maybe hundreds or thousands or tens of thousands of events, try to figure out something, because we do manual CEP all the time. A server crashes and you look at logs, you talk to people, and you're time-based, we're humans are still a little slow at processing. So when you have CEP and you're looking at multiple event streams and you're combining it in interesting ways, you're just learning more stuff faster, and you're doing this, you know, hopefully in a useful way. And as you look at the benefits of this, it's situational awareness. How can I know more faster? Helps me react faster. If my competitor just changed their prices and I'm noticing that our sales were dropping as a percentage related to that, again, I want to know that now. I don't want to know that in my quarterly report. That doesn't help me.
Interesting. So it sounds like you could take advantage of these data streams and build up complex, you know, queries against them that you probably wouldn't be able to recognize if you were just doing sort of manual analysis. Is that one of the big goals here?
It is, and I think that the one thing that people may be put off conceptually thinking, well, I'm not Facebook. I don't generate, 100 terabytes of logs per day, or I'm not, massive web property like Pluralsight, for example, that generates that much viewing data. I'm, maybe a smaller shop, so volume doesn't matter to me. But even then, there's that event-driven nature. So even if you're a call center that gets 100 calls a day, do I want to be monitoring all of that in real time, or would it just be great to know as things are happening that we just saw a spike versus yesterday's average? Or, it doesn't have to be hundreds of thousands of events. It could just be that event-driven nature that says, don't go look at a report every morning. I can tell you when things happen, and more importantly, tell you when things aren't happening, but I'm not forcing people to build into a routine to look at data. It's event-driven. I'm telling you when something important happens.
Interesting. So as I review the course, I noticed that a lot of your content is targeted at understanding how to formulate and issue queries using familiar technologies like C# and Link. So what exactly is the relationship between Stream Insight and .NET?
That's a good question. So Stream Insight, as I mentioned before, is licensed with SQL Server, but it's standalone. It's truly kind of latching onto a big brother versus having any actual fundamental dependency on SQL Server. It uses the .NET language and primarily Link specifically for writing queries. And, the queries are really the heart and soul of a Stream Insight app. It's being able to ask questions on streams of data. And unlike a traditional data app, and we've all built in data or web apps that, you more or less think that the queries are constantly, or the queries are changing, I'm asking different questions, the data's kind of static conceptually, but I keep asking different sorts of questions. In a CEP sort of app, my query is deployed once, and the data just kind of washes over it. So if I have a query that says, I want to know the average number of meter, the average temperature of a device in a shop floor, and I want to kind of know that over the last hour, that data, the event data, is just washing over that query, and after an hour, it emits that summary or complex event. So I'm using Link to do that sort of thing where I'm doing time-based stuff, and that was extended for Stream Insight. Link doesn't have that baked in. The Stream Insight team kind of extended Link to do time-based things where I can have these windows of time where I'm collecting data into a window and then running some queries or aggregates or averages on that. And I use .NET elsewhere, whether I'm doing adapters. I build Stream Insight adapters as .NET class libraries. If I want to embed my Stream Insight engine into an app, like a mobile app or a desktop app, I would, again, typically do that in a .NET-friendly host, as Stream Insight pretty much expects .NET environment for hosting the runtime and executing the queries.
I see. Huh. I also noticed that you have an entire module dedicated to event sources using iObservable and iEnumerable. Could you briefly describe the purpose of creating your own event sources and how you can leverage them?
Sure. So it's what's interesting, and we'll see if the product team shifts their strategy over time, but Stream Insight doesn't actually ship with any adapters. So there's no out-of-the-box adapter for Stream Insight. There could be, a good number of reasons for that, but there are a number of samples the product team created, and they're up on CodePlex. And actually, in the Pluralsight course, we write an adapter together for MSMQ and walk through all of the steps. And it takes a fair number of steps to actually physically build up an adapter. If what's nice is if you have a data source that supports iEnumerable, maybe a .NET list, all the sort of things that inherit from iList, or even a Node Data Service, these make really straightforward data sources into Stream Insight. I don't have to write an adapter. If I have any sort of .NET collection that supports iEnumerable, I can kind of point to that, hook that up to my Stream Insight query, which is really the guts of the app, and then get going right away. So it's a really nice way to quickly get data in without having to do the whole rigmarole of building an adapter. And iObservable is a pretty cool way for pushing data into Stream Insight versus the pull that iEnumerable supports. So there's caveats with these. They don't support, I can't use iEnumerable or iObservable when I have this standalone Stream Insight host. But they're really great if I've got historical queries. Let's say I want to run a million records of things that happened last month, but use Stream Insight's temporal nature, time-based nature, to look for some trends. That's really nice. I can just iterate over a list, and when I'm done, I'm done. Or even if a developer is just getting up to speed on Stream Insight, these interfaces using iEnumerable, iObservable, makes it really easy to understand how the engine works. I'd highly recommend you look at tools like LinkPad, which a lot of developers use for Link anyway, but there's drivers specifically for Stream Insight. So it's really easy to pull together some quick lists of data or point it in OData service and see how Stream Insight works.
Great. Well, thanks very much, Richard. This is Richard Sirota's new course, Stream Insight Fundamentals. And it sounds like everyone that is working with data should consider taking a look at it and see how it might improve their business processes.
Definitely. Thanks for having me.